it's all about the truth, right? And the gospel of the grace of God. So, in essence, what we're about to see here is the gospel of the grace of God, which is what? God's message, the body of Christ, to the body of Christ. So at this time, Deacon Howard Gavin, without any further ado, is going to come forward, and we know what he's going to be preaching. Grace, right? Grace. Somebody say, all y'all talking about is grace. What else are they talking about? Listen, if you're not going to talk about Jesus or grace, let's go home right now. Amen. What else? But thank God, the gospel of the grace of God is going to come forward now. And we thank God for the grace of God, the gospel of the grace of God. And at this time, without any further ado, Deacon Howard Gavin, the gospel of the grace of God. Deacon Howard Gavin.
Praise God. Great church, say amen again.
We certainly thank and praise God for being here. Another opportunity to speak of his amazing, matchless grace. Before we even begin, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Righteous, almighty, everlasting, eternal God, our Father. Lord God, we thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus, who shed his blood for our sins. And Lord God, you enable you to deliver us, my God, from any detriment through that shed blood on our behalf. We thank you, Lord God, for your grace that brought that unto us. We pray, O God, that you will bless in illumination and enlightenment, O God, each one that heareth in my immediate presence and those abroad. Lord, we pray that you would give comprehension, knowledge, understanding, joy, hope,
yes,
my God, and encouragement as we pass through here from your word by your blessed Spirit. We thank you, Lord. Guide and lead as we go forward in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're speaking in light of the document God's Sovereignty in Election to Salvation. Now, I'm going to ask our ushers to pass out the documents. We have reached page 5, and it may be 3 to 5 outings before I finish the last page, because we want God's people to have a thorough understanding in our immediate presence as well as abroad, that we are saved by nothing else but God's grace. Grace is the greatest thing that we have going for us.
Amen.
Nothing excels God's grace, and it is because of the blood of Jesus that was shed on our behalf. God grants us his grace, amen, on behalf of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who bore all of our sins. Not some, not most of them, but all of our sins,
amen,
were placed on Christ. The sovereignty of God in election. God is sovereign.
Amen.
He has the absolute right to do what he wills with that which is his. All creation is according to God. All of it. The visible and the invisible. God, the sovereignty of God in election. It means just like what it says. We were chosen by God unto this great salvation. He has graced it unto some, not all. And salvation is our eternal sonship positioning in the body of Christ. It means that we are safe and secure from all harm and all ultimate alarm. That is, when all is said and done, when God has no more use, amen, for time and physicality, which are both creations of God for purpose, Amen. All said and done, we will be standing yet in God's grace. Praise Him. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, the first chapter, as our text verses, the first chapter, and we have been reading verses 1 through 7. The immediate text is 1 through 6, but verse 7 is so profound, I'd like for Elder to read it also along with verses 1 through 6, also verse 7. Again, we're speaking of the sovereignty of God in election unto salvation. And we shall find out when we became chosen and where we were placed as we were chosen unto salvation. Elder, if you have it, begin reading verses. I tell you what, Elder, read verse 1 and 2 as I have become accustomed to in the King James Version, and thereafter we will read in the interlinear Greek text, which some words read similar to the King James and other versions, but if they differ, it is because these portions of the Bible, which we call the New Testament, but in the portion of the Bible that's called the New Testament, you have the New Covenant or Testament, and you also have the Grace Covenant or Testament, giving identification to the grace dispensation and the gospel of the grace of God or the mystery. Amen. So this is why we go to the Greek interlinear text, so that we can get the correct conveyance. And if we can't find the correct conveyance in the interlinear Greek text, which is from the older manuscripts, amen, than those of the King James Version and the like, then we use, well, obviously, we use the method of scriptural exegesis. Exegesis means dig out the literal meaning, going to the original language to dig out in order that we might be properly informed of the intended conveyance of the script, the scriptures. All right, Elder, from the King James Version, verse 1, 2, Ephesians 1 and 2.
Ephesians chapter 1 and 2, the King James Translation.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ.
That belongs to Jesus Christ, as we all do. We belong to him. Of, that would be in the genitive case, showing possession of honor or ownership. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. And?
By the will of God.
By the will of God.
To the saints which are at Ephesus.
Uh-huh.
And to the faithful in Christ Jesus.
This is to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. We are not faithful out of Christ Jesus. That also signifies in Christ Jesus that it's God's word unto all of us that make up as members of the body of Christ. Irregardless of religious affiliation or denomination, we all belong to one body. There are not two or three lords. We have one Lord, and the church is, in this day, the church is the body of Christ. There was a church in the wilderness, but this church in this day and time,
yes,
that this amen message, the mystery, the gospel of the grace of God, was designated to by the Lord Jesus Christ via or through the Apostle Paul, amen, is the grace church, which is Christ's body. Elder, read on, and let's hear what God says unto us.
Verse 2.
Mm-hmm.
Grace to you.
Grace, 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 the greatest thing that we have. going other than the Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood on our behalf. Amen. It reached us in grace, God's grace. And we are going to see, amen, the channel in the next verses. Grace to you, and what?
And peace from God our Father.
Peace from God our Father. Peace. Grace. Peace from God our Father.
And the Lord Jesus Christ.
And the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're going to transition to the interlinear Greek text for the conveyance of these next verses. Elder, begin and follow along. Begin verse 3 from the interlinear Greek text.
Verse 3, interlinear Greek. Translation. Blessed the God.
Blessed. High praise. High praise. Hallelujah. Blessed the God and.
And Father of the Lord of us.
Of the Lord of us. That we, amen, be under no illusion. He is the Lord of us. All that are members of his body, he's the Lord of us. He's the owner. We don't belong to ourselves. We don't set our agenda nor our course that has already been designated and designed for us individually as well as collectively. We are all members ultimately of the body of Christ, and he is Lord. He is the head, and we are body members. He directs our lives, our course, our all, our problems, or not. Amen. Our suffering, or not. He directs all. He has determined what we have, how much, how long, our continuance in this body, how long, to what extent, our mental, amen, knowledge, or our spiritual knowledge. He has determined all things regarding us. He has determined how long we are in this body and when we exit it. That has already been determined. The Lord of us, read Ella.
Jesus Christ.
And it identifies him, so we'll have no mistaking. The Lord of us, Jesus Christ.
The heaven bless us just with like every blessing spiritual.
The, or the one, but the having blessed us in each and every blessing spiritual. He has blessed us. Everything regarding us has already been set. That's in what we call the aorist tense. The aorist tense is a completed action. Completed when? It was always completed. And the only place, if we can call place, the only designation for something always having been done is eternity. Not time. Praise be God. He has blessed us in each and every blessing spiritual. Yes, God bless us in natural things as he has determined for us. Amen. We don't get them necessarily by praying. God has already determined what we have when we get it or not. Amen. That's already been determined. But the ultimate, these things are temporary. The ultimate, each and every blessing spiritual in the heavenlies in Christ, those are eternal blessings.
Yes.
That are commensurate with our eternal abode and existence in the body of Christ. Here, temporary. Eternally in Christ, just that. Eternal. Read, Ella. Verse 4.
Verse 4. As he chose us in him.
Great contention over this in the church world in Christendom. As he chose us in him, when?
Before foundation
of world. Before the foundation of the world was laid, before physicality, before time was initiated by God. It's a creation. Time is only a creation. for the display of God's testimony. What God wanted to show to all creation is evidence. Time is evidence. That which God shows throughout creation and to creatures. And then when time is no longer needed, it's over. And what is left is what always was and has never gone anywhere, where we actually abide eternally in the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. He has chose us in him before. Now, you had an experience when you came to know the Lord, when he revealed himself unto you. God brought you unto that experience. Blessed it was. But that was not your entrance. That experience was set there and determined to be a blessing unto you.
I hear you.
It was for that. Whether it was morning dance, coming down, shaking the preacher's hand, or baptism, or whatever that you assess that brought you to the Lord.
Amen.
But knowledge, blessed experience that it was, but knowledge of God's word, God's truth unto us, reveals unto us, says unto us, that that was not the initiation of our salvation. That was not the origination of our eternal salvation. Our salvation is just that, eternal. We were already his, even though we did not know it. We were his. There's a whole lot of things that exist that we don't know, that we just don't know until they are revealed unto us or we find them out in searching. But we were. Even though that blessed experience, whatever it was that you assessed that brought you to Christ, even though God ordained that, otherwise it could not have happened. God ordained that. Even though it was a blessing, it was not your entrance into Christ. That is in eternity. That is what God's word tells us, that it was eternally. Amen. Brought in. Ella, read on. I'm taking my time because we have some that have heard these truths over and over again, but we also have some throughout this globe, throughout this country, throughout the continents, this earth, that have not heard these truths. And this is why we are taking our time.
Amen.
And explaining, proclaiming God's truth to God's people, wherever they are. And listening in or watching in through our web broadcast.
Yes.
That reaches all over this earth. Our webcast production, www.gracegospelministry.com. And click on webcast productions. And by 7 o'clock each Sunday evening, whoever stands at this pulpit, barring any complications in the technical aspect, that message for that morning will be brought up for your viewing. Verse 5, Elder.
Verse 5.
Mm-hmm.
Having predestinated us to adoption of sons.
I tell you what, Elder, grab, as my usual, again, manner is, grab the last two words of verse 4 and go right in verse 5.
In love.
In love. In love. The love of God. Uh-huh.
Having predestinated us.
Having predetermined, set us up, amen, established us, grounded us, foundationalized us, secured us in love. He did this before the creation of the world, before our mess-ups, before our so-called accomplishments. Before anything.
Amen.
The creation of the planets and all the galaxies. Before in love we were established in Christ Jesus. All right, read Ella.
In love, having predestinated us to adoption of sons
unto the adoption
through Jesus Christ.
Sons, or he son positioned us in Christ Jesus. To
him,
to
according
himself.
To the good pleasure of the will of him.
According to the good pleasure of the will of him. He was pleased to do it.
That's right.
He was pleased to do it. Saints of God, people of God, God is never out to get you. If you think you love your dear ones, how much more the infinite, unlimited God love them that are his. God can control anything. He has brought everything into being, and he could take everything out of existence if it was his will. He's almighty, not sort of mighty.
Glory.
He can keep us in spite of this. We have already made it in completely.
Amen. Amen.
We're in.
Amen. Thank God.
They had a movie years ago, In Like Flint. That is nothing compared to how in we are, in good shape.
I hear you.
With God our Father. Praise God, even in Christ Jesus. Elder, read on.
Verse 6.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 6.
And all this, all the benefits that we have cataloged thus far, verses 1 through 5. This is the basis. This is the basis. All right? This and the blood of Jesus that causes this. All right, read, Ella.
To praise of glory.
To praise of glory of what?
Of the grace of him.
Of the grace of him. No one in Scripture. All the 900 plus livers, the first man and woman, and the last one that will grace or be born on the present earth. No one is saved, has been saved other than by and through the grace of God. No one.
I hear you.
Ask Adam. Coming out the gate, he disobeyed God. Coming out the gate. And everyone. Whether the scripture expressly speak of their sin or disobedience or not,
glory.
All sin by God's decree and come short of the glory of God. No one is worthy. Just like no one is worthy to take the communion sacrifice or the blood, the semblance of the blood of Jesus, and the bread, the semblance of the body of Jesus, no one is worthy to be saved. No one. All sin and come short of the glory and praise of God. None have or can come in their own righteousness. Nobody. Nobody. To the praise, all of it, our eternal security, to the praise, our good stead in Christ eternally, to the praise, are being accepted in the beloved, all to the praise of the grace of him.
Yes, amen. Thank God.
Read on from there, Elder.
Amen. To the praise of the grace of him,
Of
which he favored us.
Of which he favored us. That is another expression of the word charis for grace. He favored us. He bestowed on us, or he graced us. In the what, Elder?
In the having been loved.
And that's not all of it. That's a perfect tense and a passive voice. If you are still thinking that the blessed experience that the Lord took you through in coming to know Him, if you are still thinking that that's what got you entrance into the body of Christ or into the beloved of God, let me bring this out. He favored us, aorist indicative. Aorist tense, a completed action. It was always completed in eternity. That's the only place something can have always been completed. Let me say this. We have finite minds. Our minds are limited. The workings of God in eternity are unlimited. So if we cannot fully comprehend unlimitedness or the scope of eternity, we will. Now we know in part. But when we, amen, are taken in consciousness back where we came from, spirituality, spirit, the body of Christ, we will know. We won't know in part, but we will know even as we have been known. We will be able to comprehend infinity, unlimitedness. He favored us. He graced us in the having been and are still loved. You mean He loved me all the stuff and the wrongdoing that I have experienced in my flesh and in my mind? Stuff that I can't even convey to friends and neighbors and the like before the stuff you were loved. Before the shortcomings, praise Jesus, before the shortcomings that God decreed in eternity were manifested when He put us, placed us in bodies, before that, you were loved. You were loved from eternity. Nothing, nothing can stop that or cancel that out. Nothing. Nothing done to you. Nothing done by you. Let me stop. There's nothing righteous but righteousness. We are called to identify with the righteousness of Christ. But God has to do that. Otherwise, this boy here will run you crazy.
Thank God.
There is no end to the depravity in the depraved nature. The depths, the lowness of depravity.
Glory to God.
And all of us have it. A depraved nature. It was assigned unto God's beloved when I actualize our actual existence is spiritual, not physical. We were assigned these bodies. God assigned depravity unto them, and it was manifested in the garden with the forefather or foreparents of every ethnicity. That's when it was manifested. But before that, it was eternally decreed. But God, His infinite, unlimited love, His infinite, unlimited mercy, His infinite, superabounding grace. Let me say this, and no one forget this throughout this globe that hears this message. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Grace! God's grace. Sin is wrong. God hates sin. He created that, which is in opposition to Him. He created that, which He hated for His purpose, to magnify the glory of His grace.
That's right.
Where sin abounds, sin loss before it came forth. It's an unfair fight. We win. Hallelujah. Glory, not just barely. Not just a little, you know, how photo finish. No. Eons ahead of sin and depravity and hell and loss. We win. Glory to God. Oh, he has graced us so. Last verse, Elder. We let me say this. We are, were, and are. Having been the perfect tense. Perfect tense is a completed action with the results coming right down where we are to the present. If we live another 100 years, the results are right there. If we live another 100 months, the results, having been placed in the beloved, are right there with us. Remember, saints, we have been placed or signed into these bodies. This is not our actual existence. And when we leave these bodies, we go back home where we came from and belong. But right now we belong here because this is what God has purposed. But ultimately, we go back home. Anybody sad when they go back home? Go home to get out the stuff, the mess. And Lord knows in this world we have enough stuff and mess.
I hear you.
Amen. No, no. The saints of God are not suicidal. We abide until the Lord calls us home. Amen. And then we rejoice. He's going home. She's going home. Praise Jesus. Verse 7, Elder. Verse 7.
In whom we have the redemption.
Where we abide in Christ. Our actual abode is in the body of Christ. Everything regarding us, even your wonderful home or your glorious condominium or your nicely decorated apartment, is temporary. Temporary. Our actual, real, true abode is in Christ Jesus. In whom? A person. Pronoun. In whom? Christ. Read, Ella.
Redemption through the blood of him.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
The forgiveness trespasses.
I don't want you to forget that. We have the redemption. Redemption means to buy back with the payment of a price. The price is the blood of Jesus shed on our behalf. The blood is what bought us. The blood is what brought us. Saved through the blood. Redemption through the blood of Jesus. The forgiveness of the trespasses. How many? All. All trespasses.
Yes. Amen.
According to what, Elder?
According to the riches of the grace of him.
Of the grace of him. According to the richness. Riches and richness are both nouns. But here is more appropriately richness. Richness of the grace. It's one grace. It's just so superabounded. It's one grace. So it's the richness of that amazing grace. Hallelujah. All right. Now I'm going to read from the document. I'm down to the last three document. God's sovereignty in election to salvation. I'm down to the last three paragraphs, but I don't know, I'm not God to determine how long this. God determines all things. I may be another 5 or 6 outings, which means 15 weeks before I finish this. However, I'm reading from the last paragraph, where it says the last phrase. The last phrase of this verse 6, which we just went through, translated, which he freely gave us, meaning the grace, God's grace. He freely gave us in the beloved, may also be rendered, which he graced to us. Hallelujah. He favored to us in the beloved. But we have preferred the rendering freely gave, extracted from the Greek word ekaritosin, which is the verb form of the noun karis, which is grace. But for literal consistency, we have opted to use the lesser known verb graced, as it denotes that which God's graces or gives to his elect. According to this promise or premise, the thought conveyance would be that God graced his glorious grace unto us in the beloved. God graced his glorious grace unto us in the beloved. Note the Greek word translated beloved is a participle. Participle is a verbal adjective, a verb which describes, action word which describes, which is in the perfect tense, which we just looked at. Perfect tense, which is completed action, a completed action in the past with continuous or ongoing results right down to the moment. Or the present, whenever the present is. If the present is 20 years from now or tomorrow, amen. The perfect tense reaches right down to it. Reaches to it from eternity and the results coming right down to the moment. And it's in the passive voice. Mm-hmm. Passive voice is indicative of something one receives, not something one does. The passive voice. In our salvation, we are completely, absolutely, totally, undeniably, according to the scriptures, we're passive. No one gets or no one got saved. We were chosen in him. Before the creation of the world, being holy, that is separated from those that are not chosen, and blameless, all the cutting up we've done here in this boy, blameless, not there, don't stop there, before him to whom it matters, in love. We win. As Ella Sister Karen said here weeks ago, we win. We win. Praise be Jesus. So, the perfect tense in the completed action, the passive voice, we received it. The implication is that from eternity's past, Jesus has and continues to be the beloved one. It is striking that in this verse we note this adjectival description applied to Jesus, the beloved one, but in three other verses of Scripture, it is applied to believers, us, or the elect, us. One is Colossians 3 and 12, and I want to turn to Colossians chapter 3 and look at starting at verse 10. The other is 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4, and the third one is Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 13. Oh, what a remarkable, I'm going to finish this again and again, and I'm going to finish it today, the document here, because I may have to cut off at Colossians 3 and verses 10 through the context. Oh, what a remarkable example as we continually praise God for his glorious grace, which he has graced to us through imputation. Imputation of the merit of Jesus Christ. Imputation is one of the ancient words, amen, that means to account to. The merit of Jesus Christ has been attributed or put to our account. And we have the righteousness of Christ, but in him. We are only righteous in him. It has been imputed to us. His worth, his merit, his accomplishment has been imputed unto us or counted unto us. He had no sin. And we are accounted as never having sinned because he died for all of our sins. Let there be no mistake. Jesus didn't die for most of your sins. Not almost all of your sins. If that were the case, then we would have to face judgment. But he died for all of our sin. The wages of sin is what? That's why he died, and his righteousness is imputed to us, and we go free. We are free. Completely, totally free. Which in turn has made it possible for us to also become beloved ones. From the exegesis of proper translation and interpretation of these verses, as well as others, we believe that they provide undeniable evidential documentation that the total work of salvation was initiated, implemented, and culminated in eternity. That such as appeared when God was alone. We were not there to do any of the things that we assess as bringing us to Christ or securing our salvation. We were not there when God initiated and implemented, amen, his glorious grace unto us. Thus, we believe that it is impossible to apportion any contribution of these glorious decrees and acts to anyone, anybody, anywhere outside of God. Nobody, hallelujah, but God. Jesus saves or has saved, and Jesus alone. If Jesus has saved us, there is no power in creation that can oppose that or wipe it away. None.
Yes.
Colossians 3:10, if you have it. Colossians 3:10. Elder, I'm going to expeditiously, because I've exegeted these, and I'll go as far as time permits. We say that there are verses, three verses, where we are designated as Christ, the beloved one. We, in verse 6 of first chapter of Ephesians, there are three verses wherein we are designated the beloved ones. And the first one is Colossians 3:12. But I'm going to contextualize and include verse 12 also. Third chapter of Colossians, beginning verse 10. You follow along in your King James or other version. And having put on or been clothed, this is an eternal act of God alone. It is at, we were clothed, as it were, in the new man or the, I'm sorry, the new nature. The new nature. And having, aorist tense, completed action in eternity, and having put on the new. We were clothed in the new, our eternal sinless nature in the body of Christ, where home, where we actually abide, here temporary, all of it. the new, the being renewed. Now, according to God's eternal intent or purpose, through his word, his truth, unto us. Not the Old Testament, the law, not the kingdom gospel, which is truth also, but the grace gospel, which was given to the Apostle Paul to convey to the church, which is the body of Christ, not the church in the wilderness, the body of Christ. This truth, by this truth, through this truth, we are not being saved. That happened in eternity before this truth was given to Paul or even known. But through this truth, we are being renewed. Remember, we have the old man here, and he calls us to go that way. But this truth, it renews us.
I hear you.
As to who we are. Who we actually are. I mean, who we really, really are. Temporary. Temporary. The true is our abode, eternal, actual abode, spirit in Christ Jesus. And just like our Lord Jesus Christ took on a body for the suffering of death as creator, how else he gonna die? As eternal spirit, how else is he gonna die? He took on a body for the suffering of death in manifestation of what God had eternally done, decreed. The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Amen. We were assigned bodies for believing and suffering according to and on behalf of Christ. Oh yes, sufferings are a sign. Look at Philippians 1:29. One day we'll have time and we'll go there. Philippians 1:29. Sufferings are in order. We don't like them. This don't like them. But sufferings are in order because they were a sign for God's purpose. But we win because we've always been in the winning in Christ. Being renewed by the gospel of the grace of God, the mystery, being renewed in knowledge according to or corresponding to likeness or image of the having or him having created us, which is Christ. Colossians 1:16, 17. All was created in him, by in him, through him, and for him. Praise Jesus. An image means to represent, to mirror, to form a likeness of in the mind. So this truth, the gospel of the grace of God, in those 14 epistles that the Lord Jesus, after he had resurrected, left the 12 and left the earth, resurrected and was glorified back home where he abides eternally, gave the revelation of the mystery to the Apostle Paul for the grace church. And it formed, it is designed to cause us to be formed in our minds.
Amen.
According to and like him, Christ Jesus.
Glory to God.
It's not to save us. That happened in eternity. But this corrects us, leads us, guides us, tell us the truth. Tell us what is and what isn't. All right. I won't finish this, but that's all right. We'll come back maybe 7 weeks to finish this. In knowledge, according to the likeness or image of the having created, aorist tense, completed in eternity, complete, having created us, him. Where not be or not inside, or you could say, have no place. Where? Where are you talking about? It's all kinds of stuff and people in the world talking about in him. a continuation from verse 10. Remember now, we pause and whatnot and reassess because of punctuations, periods, commas, and the like. But in the original scripting, there were no pauses of commas and periods. Speaking of in him. Where? In him. Where? Have no place or is not or is not inside these designations and differences. Greek and Jew, not in the body of Christ. Circumcision, and in case we miss anybody, this next designation will cover the whole earth that is not a Jew. Circumcision, which is speaking regarding the Jews. Or and uncircumcision. That covers all Gentiles of all ethnicities. Barbarian, don't laugh at it. They brought down mighty Rome, according to God. Barbarian or Scythian. Pagan. Even if they are caught up in pagan worship, if they are a member of the body of Christ, God could overturn that at any moment and reveal himself unto him. I was caught up in drink. God took that like that. Took it so fast, it almost scared me. Call up! I told my family, you can talk to me about anything, but don't talk to me about my drinking. I loved it, according to this. But that love, that thing was nothing compared to who I truly was in God my Father, even the Lord Jesus Christ.
I hear you.
Praise him. Barbarian, Scythian, slave, free person, but all and in all Christ. All the elect are in Christ, and Christ is in all of his beloved. You are never, ever, ever, ever outside or away from Christ. Never. God is everywhere present.
Thank God.
Excuse me. I'm not present. He told the disciples when he was going away back where he was before. He said, lo, I am with you. Not one of you. I am with you all. Always. Always. When we sleep. He hasn't gone. We are ever in his presence. I think we had a doctrinal conference regarding the presence of God in and with his elect. He's ever with us. He never leaves us. And he never forsakes us. Just because we may be suffering, he hasn't gone nowhere. He knows. Sufferings are a sign unto us. He suffered for us. They were assigned. He suffered for us. And we suffer on his behalf. On his behalf, we suffer. Praise God. But that is not the final deal. We are ultimately glorified. After this, sufferings and everything is gone. Gone. We are in ecstasy, conscious-wise. Our actual abode is there now. But our consciousness, our awareness and knowing is resonating around the stuff, around the mess. Hallelujah. Put on. It's not what it seemed like, folks. We've been talking about grace. Grace means no merit. Our salvation, we don't have to get saved. We were saved in eternity. Now, this, put on, is an imperative. Imperative is a command. I learned that much in school. Not much else. It's a command. But it is a command of grace. It's a command of grace. And in grace, there are no conditions. It's a command of grace. Put on! Relax. It's already been done. It's in the aorist tense and the middle voice. Aorist tense, again, is a completed action. God has commanded regarding you and I and all the elect and the beloved that we have put on. All God did was command it in his decree, in the one decree. It's done. Whenever it manifests is according to God, but it is done. Put on, therefore, as chosen of the God, the chosen, we are chosen. Again, we don't get saved. The experience you went through, God took you through that. It was a blessing. But according to knowledge, we go on and learn. We don't know much when that experience comes upon us. But we go on and learn, and the Holy Spirit teaches us and illuminates us. As the chosen of the God. Holy means separated. And having been loved. Having been, oh, perfect tense again, passive voice. You didn't do it. You received the love. Having been and are loved. You mean as unruly as I've been, Lord, and as slew-foot as I've been walking? Yes. 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 Yes.
Glory to God.
If God kicked us out for walking contrary, who would be in? Who would hold? Who? You can't read each other's thoughts. But God can. Intentions. Many of them thank God he overrules our intentions. Otherwise, we'd be out of here. Having been in our love, bowels, your inmost feelings and affections, bowels of compassions. This is what God has commanded that is put on regarding us. God has commanded this. And he has to overrule that which he has designed for this to manifest. We are not doing it. I can go to the scripture that was called at our homegoing for our Mother Frances and Vivian Colbert yesterday. Ephesians 2 and 10. The works God has called them into being. And he determines when they are manifested. He overrules this and holds this boy back and calls the works that he has caused us to put on, the compassion, to manifest. God has provided everything. Kindness. Humility. You know God has to cause that. My God. Every time I get in that little hybrid, I feel like I'm somebody. And it's not a Cadillac. Now think if I drove a Cadillac. Meekness, gentleness, long suffering, patience. I'm going to cut off here. I reserve the right to come back when it's my turn again. Saints of God, amen. You weren't jumping and running and turning over benches this time. That's all right. That's all right. As long as we understand via the Holy Spirit who we are, what we have, and what we have been given cannot be abrogated or taken away by nothing, no one, anything in all of creation, visible and invisible. God bless you.
Amen. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God.